Hello everybody, welcome to the FPL Banter Pod. My name is George. I hope we are all well. And game week 6 is done. The chip week, I like to call it, as I'm pretty sure that almost everyone used a chip last week, whether it was a wild card, whether it was a triple captain on Mr. Erling Haaland. I know some people bench boosted as well, free hit. So, whatever you did, hope it went well. I triple captained, which went delightfully well. As you know, if you did triple captain, we all know Haaland was the play last week, and rightly so, with him having Burnley. And we got a little bit lucky, didn't we? We got a little bit lucky because 75 minutes in, it looked like we weren't getting anything from Haaland. And then he ended up getting an assist and two late goals to give us a lovely haul and give me a massive green arrow, a 2.6 million green arrow to be exact, which was lovely. So a lot of action this weekend, I was very happy with, you know, Brentford beating Man United. I was in a sports bar with friends from the Slack and FPL, Louise, Steve and Duncan, who had come all the way down from Scotland for some gigs for his favourite band over the UK. And obviously he finished it off by seeing us. So it was lovely to see him. It was a great day. As I say, I was sitting with two United fans while we smashed up United. I say smashed up, a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I thought first half we were brilliant, really good. Thiago was brilliant, Henderson was brilliant, and you know, everyone did their job. A little bit sloppy to let that goal go in, and we got a little bit fortunate with Collins not getting sent off and Bruno, you know, missing the penalty. And Man United at the moment, FPL terms, I'd stay away from Man United. I wouldn't even, I mean, if you have Bruno, I guess you stick with him for now, but I wouldn't, while Amorim is in charge, I wouldn't go anywhere near Man United, which, you know, I'll get into all the action and everything in a minute. But yeah, so I'll just update you with the score from last week. So, 90. Lovely score. Obviously, majority of that was from Haaland, 48 from the triple captaincy. And the rest of it is, yeah. I mean, for Bruggen, another two. It is what it is. Need to sort out the goalkeeper situation. And surprisingly, spoiler alert, I'm 80% sure I'm wildcarding next week during the international break, but my defenders actually did quite well this week. So I had a 7 from Gehi with the assist in the last minute, and he got Defcon as well, I believe. Yeah, he got 2 points Defcon and then the assist, and I also had Rodon, who got the goal, which I couldn't believe he got a goal. I was in the sports bar. I looked up. I had to double check. I said, does that say Rodon? And it did. And I went absolutely mental. People would have thought I was a Leeds fan. But yeah, so I had that. Van de Ven got a 2. Spurs were a little bit disappointing, I thought, against Wolves, especially in that second half. They didn't do anything that second half. They're really bad, and I think they got away with it a little bit at the very end with that Paulina goal. But Kudus, bloody hell, I got Kudus, and he should have got something in that first half. How he didn't get a goal, and then he did get a goal, and it was blooming offside. But Kudus is an annoying one for me, because there's some transfers I want to do this week, and one of them, he got Leeds, and it's like, Kudus is one of them for me. I've watched a lot of Spurs have been on telly already this season, and I've watched Kudus a lot, and I feel like a haul's coming, and I just don't want to get off the Kudus rider yet. But with a certain stat, which I'm going to tell you later, is what might get me off Kudus annoyingly. But yeah, we'll see. Rice got a 9. He got an assist, and he got a bonus point as well. Rice had a great game against Newcastle, and he got Defcon as well. You know, fair play to Arsenal, getting that late win in the end. And I think that's turned the tide a little bit. I think Arsenal have now sort of, even though they've, you know, they drew against City and they lost against Liverpool, who, by the way, Liverpool have lost back-to-back games now, one against Palace at the weekend and in the Champions League as well against Galatasaray. Although, going to Galatasaray away is not an easy thing for me. In my opinion, it's probably one of the hardest grounds to go to in Champions League. I mean, we all know what it's like, but yeah. So, you know, you can look at it two ways. You can say maybe the wheels are falling off at Liverpool. I don't think that's the case. I just think they're very unsettled at the moment. Slot's trying to find out his best 11. Wirtz isn't working at the moment. Isak is still coming up to speed. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty around Liverpool at the moment and how they're trying to play. Salah's not the same Salah. So there's a lot going on there at Liverpool. I had a Wirtz blank again. So Wirtz is 100% going this week. It's not even a debate anymore. He's out. I don't want to see his name in my FPL team. He's gone. I'll explain why, who for later. Semenyo, 7, got a goal. Yeah, he got a goal. And just a goal from him on against Leeds. And he's still, you know, he's probably the most consistent midfielder in the league at the moment. He just keeps getting us, whether it's just a goal or an assist, he's getting us points. And my fifth midfielder was Reinders, who got a blank. Which I'm a little bit, yeah, I thought he would have got something against, but I mean, yeah, it being Burnley, you would have thought Haaland, obviously Haaland did get points, but you would have thought your Reinders would have got points, your Foden's, if you went there, would have got points. I think Foden got a pre-assist in that game, and yes. And then my last striker, other than Haaland, was João Pedro. My bench, nothing on my bench. A 1 for Dubravka. Chris, we've got 2. Murillo didn't play. And Ronaldo was still suspended. And Pedro apparently may have a muscle injury, so we may not see him at Chelsea-Liverpool. Which is going to be a mental game, Chelsea-Liverpool. Now, in terms of this week, like I said, this is kind of my dead-end week. This is where I'm in two minds. Because I got a lovely green arrow, as I said. I went from 3.5 million to now I am, bear with me, I'm 856k. So I've jumped straight up. So it's like, right, I'm where I want to be now. I don't want to lose that. I want to stay away from the 1 million, 2 million ranks. I want to try and keep there. Now, I've had so many different ideas and thoughts going in my head. As soon as the game week finished, I was like, right, I'm getting Gabs. Gabriel's coming in. I haven't made any transfers yet, because obviously with it being Champions League week, I know there was price rises, ups and downs, but I've got enough in the bank to cover what I wanted to do or what I potentially was going to do. So all week I've said to myself, Gabs is in, Gabs is in, Gabs is in. And there's rumours he got a little knock against Olympiacos, but I think Arteta said he was more than fine. He just decided to take him off. There was no concern. He got clattered by Raya. He was just being careful, but he was fine ultimately. as I said earlier, it was like, right, I want to sort my defence out. And then the more I thought about it, and I watched Arsenal yesterday, and the amount of attacks Arsenal had yesterday, and because before Nuno got announced, I was like, right, yeah, when this week comes, I'm getting everyone I possibly can to attack West Ham, basically. And I'm still in that plan, but I'm not as confident in it as I was before. So basically, I don't think, for example, Arsenal are going to win 4-5-0. However, and I'm kind of contradicting myself a little bit here, Arsenal should have had 4 or 5 against Olympiacos. Gyökeres missed 2 at least. Trossard missed 1. Martinelli missed a free header. There was loads of opportunities in that game. And how it only finished 2-0, I don't really know. But there were so many, like, as I said, so, like, I was thought, right, I'm going to get Gabs and Gyökeres. That was my first plan. And then I watched Gyökeres yesterday, and I was just like, and I said it in my little WhatsApp group with the guys, and I was like, you ain't it, mate. You are not it. I just don't think he's that guy that Arsenal want him to be. I don't think he's that guy that we want him to be in FPL. I just think he's missing. He's getting in the right positions and the balls are now starting to come to him, but he's missing them. You know, it's lucky Martinelli scored that rebound, because for me, he should be putting that away himself. 100% he should be putting that away himself. And look, he's strong, he holds the ball well, he's trying to get in the right positions, but it just seems very, how do I put it? He's a flat track bully. And, you know, people have said that, and I think that's what he is. And sure, you know, for your West Hams, your Leeds, your Wolves, that's when you want Gyökeres. But I just think as a top striker, someone who, you know, someone in those big games like the Cities, like the Newcastles, and he was a little bit better against Newcastle, but he's just not, he just don't feel like a big game player at the moment. I just don't feel like he's going to go and, you know, score against your Cities. I mean, it's already been proven, because he didn't score against City, he didn't score against Liverpool, he didn't score against Newcastle. So he's obviously getting used to the Premier League again, and I get that, but I just think, I think there's other places you can go in that Arsenal attack where you'll benefit from. I said in the Slack the other day, and I said to him, clip it, screenshot it, whatever you want to do. I said, I don't see Gyökeres getting more than 1 goal in the next 3 games. He could easily score against West Ham, by the way, and these are the games where Gyökeres can shine. But I think that's it. I think after that they have Fulham, which is a bogey place for Arsenal. They don't like going to Fulham. And then after that, they got Palace at home. And I wouldn't want to back against Palace at the moment. You know, they're the only unbeaten side left in the Premier League. They've just beaten Liverpool. I think they won tonight in their Europa game as well. So, you know, everyone going, oh, you know, Arsenal getting the easy fixtures now, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think the next 3 are that easy. West Ham is. West Ham is. And like I say, he can easily score against West Ham. But after that, I don't think he gets another goal in his next 2. So I've kind of gone off the Gyökeres idea. I was then thinking, right, well, I'm going to go Isak then, if Etiquette is injured. And apparently he's not. It was just cramps. So he may feature in the Chelsea game as well as Isak. The only thing with that game is Alisson's out. Liverpool's defence ain't great. Chelsea have got so many injuries. Pedro might be out. Palmer's already out. Colwell's out. I think another few defenders are out for Chalobah's suspended. So, you know, that Liverpool-Chelsea game could be any score. And it's kind of like, is that the game where Isak goes, yeah, I'm here now. I'm, you know, I'm Liverpool's number nine. I'm going to, you know, show you what, give you the Newcastle Isak. Or are we going to see a similar thing to Gyökeres? He's just firing blanks. The problem I've got, if Pedro is injured, well, I mean, I either play a 4-5-1 in FPL formation, or I play a 3-5-2. And my third striker at the moment is Chris Wood, which I was kind of hoping I'd find another striker I really like to basically replace Pedro or Chris Wood at the moment. But at the moment there isn't, and it's more midfielders I want. So, like I say, there's so many ideas going through my head. There was Saka, there's Gabriel, there's Eze, there's Isak, there's Sar from Palace I even considered. And so at the moment, I've come to the conclusion of Wirtz is out, Saka's in. So that's one transfer, that's my only free transfer. Now, as I said earlier, it's a case, do I be careful? Do I just go, right, we'll use Saka and either we'll play the five I have and I can just, and if Murillo's fit, I can play four at the back. If he's not, then I will get Gabriel. So there is that option that I go Saka and Gabs or Saka and Timber. I am looking at Timber as well. Now, my other option, which I am really considering because of the stats. Now, this is not, to be fair, Foden's actually started all right this season. But so there's a stat in this City, in this Brentford versus City game, which I am going to. City's last six goals that Man City have scored at the G-Tech have all been from Phil Foden. Phil Foden has scored six goals in the last three games at the G-Tech, and he's the only goal scorer for City in those last three games. So, yeah, for some reason, Foden loves coming to us. In one of those first games he had at the G-Tech, I benched his hat-trick, which is, yeah, just, I can't even remember why I benched him. I obviously had a benching headache and I just decided that Foden was the one to bench. I'm not really sure how or why. And I'm kind of, I think that moment's almost scared me where it's like, right, Foden's playing Brentford at Brentford. I need to pick him. Now, I'm either getting Saka's in, like I said, Saka's in. So it's either Saka or Gabriel or Timber, or it's Saka and Foden. Which would mean Kudus will probably have to go for an order to Foden to come in. Or I could just swap with Reinders. But you know what happened? I'll swap him with Reinders and Reinders will score against us. Now, you think, well, hang on, Brentford just won, you know, they just beat United 3-1. And we did, but United are awful. Yet they still scored. And it was a sloppy goal they scored from us. Now, if we're a little bit sloppy like that, the form Haaland's on at the moment, he could absolutely rip us a new one. And like I say, Foden's form at Brentford, I just can't ignore it. And it's probably the fear of what happened to me last time when I didn't have Foden in a Brentford game. But the problem is, as I said earlier, I think Kudus is due a haul and I think it's coming. And I'm just worried that it will come against Leeds. In a way, I kind of like to just do Saka and that's it. But I think the problem I have is it's sort of slim pickings. Like, as I said, I've got Chris Wood on my bench if Pedro is injured. But, I'm not fancying Chris Wood this season at all. He's had one good game against Brentford, funny enough, and Yeah, I'm just not a fan of that. However, Chris Wood did score a penalty tonight, but they lost 3-2 to Midtjylland. So, thing is, my other option is Thiago, but then it means I potentially have, well, I'd have three players in that Brentford City game anyway, even if I went Foden or if I went Thiago. So I either go all out attack, as I said, I'm wild carding next week, so it's either I go all out attack, I get Saka, I get Foden, and the Kudus haul is what it is. As I say, there's just this little bit of fear in me that Kudus is going to haul this week. Having said that, Leeds have been very good, and they have been very solid this season, especially at home. And that's a 12:30 game. So I'm not, you know how we feel about 12:30s. You're not meant to get hauls in 12:30s. And to be fair, we didn't, unless you had Thiago, of course. I think I'm more tempted to go Saka Foden. Like I say, there's not really any striker I'm like 100% convinced in to get. The only other thing I could do is I could get Mateta or Voldemort in the slack. I could get Voldemort against Forest. Like I just said, Forest just lost. So I could go there, maybe. And it just saves me a little bit more money when I wildcard as well. So, yeah, the deadline's tomorrow as well, by the way. There's a Friday night game, Bournemouth-Fulham. So the deadline, by the way, that is a reminder to everyone. There is a deadline Friday night at 6:30. So be wary of that. So I'm going to have to make these decisions soon. If you held a gun to my head and told me I had to make a decision now, I would probably do Saka in for Verts, and then I'd probably do Kudus to Foden. I've gone off the defence idea because I don't think the defence is important at the moment. In terms of, we're not getting many clean sheets for any teams at the moment, except maybe Arsenal. But obviously they didn't keep a clean sheet against Newcastle. And I do actually think West Ham can score at the weekend, which is why I'm more inclined to go Foden. So it's either I have triple Arsenal, really, or I have triple City. Or, as I said, I go somewhere else, I get Saka, and then I try and find a striker who has a nice week, who has a nice game week this week. I could even go with Charlson. I'd go Voldemarde, I'd go Mateta. So there are options. I could go Welbeck. He got two goals at the weekend, last weekend, so there was that option as well. Saka's in, though. Saka's 100% in. I thought he looked good against Olympiacos when he came on. I was tempted with Eze, but I think Saka's more... he's less rotational. Because Madueke's injured. So I think Saka's... if he's going to start, he's going to start, and he's going to get at least 70 to 80 minutes, I reckon. Where you could see Eze coming off at 60, 65 potentially. So I just think with Eze at the moment, he's so rotational. He's fighting for that place with Odegaard in a 10. But obviously with Eze, he can also go on the left. But he's obviously got competition with Trossard and Martinelli as well. So at the moment, I don't think Eze gets more than 65 minutes. Which is why I think Saka's in for me, just due to the fact that he's less rotational at the moment. And then, yeah, it's just that whether I leave it like that or if I go, as I said, I go for Foden for Kudus, or I sell Wood or Pedro for Voldemarde. Isak is still in my mind a little bit. Or, like I said, a Mateta as well. So I will read you my team as it stands. So Verbruggen, it's Dubravka away to Villa, or it's Verbruggen away to Wolves. Verbruggen's in again. Gehi's in, he's got Everton, Leeds, Van de Ven has Leeds away, and Murillo has Newcastle away. I got Rodon on the bench, so I may, it's annoying because I don't really want to play a Leeds and a Spurs defender together, but I may do that because I'm not sure if Murillo goes in. And Newcastle's a difficult game. And I actually think New Forest get pumped at the weekend. So there is that. So I think, annoyingly, I'm going to have two defenders in the same game. And unless, as I say, unless I do just go for the Arsenal defender, which maybe, now I'm speaking about it on the pod, I'm thinking maybe that is the best idea. Just to go Saka and Gabs or Saka and Timber. And then I have a midfield five at the moment of Rice, Kudus, Semenyo, Reinders and Wirtz. But Wirtz will be Saka. And then at the moment I've got João Pedro and Haaland as my captain. Now João Pedro's still not flagged, which makes me think he will start. So João Pedro will start for me in this setup. And if he doesn't, then I guess Wood will come in. So yeah, I think it's either an Arsenal defender and Saka, or it's Saka and Foden that come in. Yeah, they're my options at the moment. Basically, Saka's in, Haaland's my captain, and I'm still undecided on the hit or if I'm just going to leave it. But I'm 70% sure I will be taking a hit this week. Yeah, a little bit of rambling there for me, but I hope you enjoy it. As always, green arrows to you all. If you are using any chips, as always, good luck. Remember, if you are wildcarding, wildcards are not just for Christmas. It's all about the long run. And yeah, happy game week 7. And on to game week 8, where my next pod will most likely be me explaining my wildcard. Green arrows all.